My guest at this time is Chris Chmielinski of Numbers USA. That's an organization focused on immigration policy here in Washington. Right now, lawmakers are scrambling to keep the government open by the end of the week, and Democrats insist that action be coupled with efforts to protect those enrolled in the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, also known as DACA. But with the incessant chatter about what words President Trump used in the White House over this issue last week, precious little attention is being paid to what was actually in the bill being presented to the president by the so-called Gang of Six. So what does that legislation call for, and how does it compare to legislation spearheaded by House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte or President Trump's priorities? And Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Numbers USA has done all of us a big service here by putting all these plans side by side and letting us see where the similarities are and the major differences are. Throughout this debate, the number used for people enrolled in DACA is roughly 800, 850,000, somewhere around there. According to your group in evaluating the Gang of Six plan, they now call for the legalization of more than 10 million people as a result of this. How do they get to that number?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, they expand DACA to include the entire pool of Dreamer illegal aliens. So the Migration Policy Institute estimates that that population exceeds 3 million and is about 3.3 million. So just to quickly explain the differences between the Dreamers and the DACA recipients, when President Obama announced the DACA program, he limited it to folks that entered prior to 2007, had maintained continuous presence until 2012, and were under a certain age, the age of 31. The Dreamer population is much, much more broadly defined than that. And again, the Migration Policy Institute estimates that that population is about 3.3 million. The other thing that this Gang of Six proposal does that's being led by Senators Jeff Flake, Lindsey Graham, and Dick Durbin, on the Senate side, the other thing that it does is it also offers an amnesty for the parents of the Dreamers. So if you assume that all of the Dreamers have two parents, that's another 6.6 million. So 6.6 million plus the 3.3 million, and you're at 10 million.
And you use the word amnesty, and that's because in addition to conditional permanent resident status, there's also a path to citizenship for all these people, correct?
Right. And we define amnesty as anything that allows illegal aliens to stay in the country and work in the United States. So live and work here. That's what we define an amnesty. So we don't really add the caveat of it has to extend citizenship to them as well. For example, the Goodlatte bill would only offer renewable work permits to the current existing DACA holders. And we still consider that an amnesty, though, because it still allows them to stay and work in the United States. So it's still rewarding them, even though they're in violation of U.S. immigration law.
But it does not grant permanent resident status, and there's no path to citizenship.
Exactly. Where there is only for the Dreamers under the Senate plan. They don't offer citizenship to the parents, but they do offer citizenship to the Dreamers. Although once the Dreamers eventually become citizens, they will be able to sponsor their parents under the chain migration laws, because even though they say they address chain migration, they really don't.
One of the things that we thought Republicans were looking at here, President Trump included, is that DACA would be enshrined into law in exchange for serious concessions in the other direction. In other words, a great reduction in chain migration, which limits the number of relatives and where on the family tree, how far down you can go and let those people come in eventually, and also ending the visa lottery, which has been connected to at least one terrorist attack here in the last couple of months. And then there's the issues of border security and so forth, E-Verify. What I'm not finding here in the Gang of Six bill, Chris, is progress on any of those, except maybe a little bit of money for fencing.
Right. What they've done is they've taken the appropriations that the House Appropriations Committee has actually already done. So the House Appropriations Committee has approved the Homeland Security Appropriations Bill for fiscal year 2018, and they've taken the provisions from that and included that as part of their proposal. So it's not like they're coming very far. Now, it was unlikely that Democrats would support that proposal, but it did get through that committee, mainly because it was led by Republicans. So it passed along party lines. So they appropriate a little bit of funding towards border fencing, but they say that this $1.6 billion that they're assigning for board can only be used on existing fencing. So they're telling the administration that as part of this deal, you cannot build any new fencing or any new walls. You can only use the money to repair existing fencing.
So their condition for DACA is an expanded DACA, greatly expanded DACA, is fence maintenance. Let's take a look at, is that essentially right?
One would think the federal government should already be required to do is maintain fencing, but...
Let's take a look at the Goodlatte bill in question of those two issues as well, and perhaps more. Chain migration, the visa lottery, and border security. What stands out to you as good? What stands out to you as could be better?
Yeah, well, we like pretty much everything that the Goodlatte bill does on those fronts. In terms of ending chain migration, it completely ends the extended family adult relatives categories. What it also does is another source of chain migration is also the unlimited green cards that can be given to parents. And what it does is it still allows the parents to come in with the immigrants, but it doesn't allow them to become citizens. It allows them to come in on a renewable visa, similar to what they've done with the DACA program, although it doesn't give them work authorization. So that allows for immigrants who are taking care of their elderly parents to still bring their parents into the country. But it eliminates all the other adult family relatives. Non-nuclear family relative categories. As for the visa lottery, it completely eliminates it. So it eliminates all 55,000 green cards that are associated with the green card lottery. And when it comes to border security, the thing that really stands out to us is it requires the implementation of the biometric entry exit system. This was something that was actually passed by Congress in the mid-2000s as a recommendation of the 9/11 Commission. And this is basically just a tracking system. Every non-citizen that enters the United States, they're checked into the country, and then we check them out when they leave. So we know when folks overstay. You know, research has indicated that about 40% of the illegal alien population in the United States actually came to the U.S. legally in the first place, but overstayed their visa. So this would help address that situation. It also does authorize the federal government, the executive branch, to build walls and other barriers along the southern border and also make a number of other improvements along the southern border. The only thing it doesn't do is it doesn't appropriate the funding. So the funding would have to come through separate appropriations bills, but at least it authorizes the government to do it.
But Chris, let me ask you about a couple other things here in the enforcement, and that the Goodlatte bill would have mandatory E-Verify, which requires employers to verify that their people that they're hiring and people who work for them are legally in the country. Another thing that I think might surprise a few people, because you know we always think about people sneaking across the border, but a lot of illegal immigration is overstaying visas. The Goodlatte bill criminalizes visa overstays, and I think some people might be surprised that that's not already illegal, but it's not.
Yeah, you're right. Now, the first point that you made, mandating E-Verify, that's a big thing for us, both me personally and Numbers USA. We firmly believe that shutting off the jobs magnet by requiring all employers to use the E-Verify workplace verification system will eliminate most future illegal immigration. At the end of the day, folks come to the country illegally because they know they can get a job here. And if they can get a job, they can live and work here because they're earning money. This would cut off that jobs magnet. It would prevent illegal aliens from getting jobs. So we think that would take a huge chunk out of future illegal immigration. The other thing that you mentioned was criminalizing the visa overstay. So right now, it's only a civil fine if you overstay a visa. So if you're legally present, it's a civil penalty. The criminality comes when you illegally enter the country. So visa overstayers actually entered the country legally but overstayed their visa. So it turns that into a crime rather than just being civil. The only penalty for being illegally present in the United States under current law is that you are subject to deportation, and then you're subject to a 3-year or a 10-year bar depending on how long you are illegally present in the United States. And a lot of times those bars are waived.
Two quick questions before we let you go, Chris, and I think our listeners would agree that we've gotten a lot of good information from you here. I've followed this debate very closely for a long time. I wasn't even aware there was a Goodlatte bill in our mainstream media until I read up on what was all involved here as a result of the work you guys did. What does this tell you about what the way the media is perhaps driving the debate on this?
Right, and To your point, there's been a ton of articles in my hometown newspaper, the Washington Post. Every single day, there's been an article on the Gang of Six proposal since they introduced or since they started talking about it last Thursday. So, you know, there's definitely an effort by the mainstream media. They want to see a DACA amnesty. They're very sympathetic towards this group of people. So are we. But we're also going to say, okay, if we're going to reward this particular class of illegal aliens, then we need something substantial in return. And that's E-Verify, chain migration, and the visa lottery. The mainstream media, they come at it more from a expansionist type perspective. They don't want to see the reductions in legal immigration, and they don't want to see the increase in interior enforcement. So they're not going to talk about that. And again, it's up to groups like Numbers USA and thanks to your radio program that we can educate the American people and let them know that, hey, Bob Goodlatte and some others in the House have introduced this great piece of legislation.
And finally, we've got a few days left before at least the government shutdown deadline. They don't have to deal with DACA, but the Democrats certainly want them to. Based on what you know up on the Hill, what's going to happen?
Yeah, there's a lot of mixed talk going on the Hill right now. I think they're going to end up getting a short term deal out of it. I think it's going to extend the deadline to probably late February, maybe early March if they can get it that far. You're going to get a little bit of kicking and screaming from some Republicans, especially ones who sit on the Department of Defense Appropriations. They want to see Armed Services Committee. They want to see full funding for an entire year for the Pentagon. They don't want to jeopardize. Their ability to long-term plan there. But I think eventually they'll get on board with a short-term bill because every Republican in the House will be needed in order to get the bill through the House. Then when it gets to the Senate, as long as it gets through the House, you're going to have the 51 Republican senators voting yes on the CR, a short-term spending bill. So then you just need 9 Democratic senators. And I do think the votes are there from some of the Democratic senators that live in states like Virginia, for example, that have a large federal government workforce population living in their state that are going to, you know, they're not going to vote to take away their paychecks from them. And then you have 10 Senate Democrats who are up for re-election in 2018 who reside in states that Trump won. So, you know, they're not going to take the chance of shutting down the government over DACA. So I think at the end of the day, you are going to see another short-term spending bill get passed by Friday. But again, who knows? You know, the Democrats may push it to the limit and say, no, we're absolutely not going to fund the government unless it includes a DACA fix.
So best case scenario, we have this debate all over again in 6 weeks, I guess.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is, yeah, you'll see a CR passed for about a month. And then over the next 3 or 4 weeks, this DACA situation will completely play out. But I think this might be the last time we're talking about it. I think if nothing's taken care of over the next month, then nothing will probably happen on it.
Chris, we'll all be watching. Thanks very much for your time today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Chris Chmielewski of Numbers USA. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.